You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I'm continuing now my series on religious spirits, and I really want to attack the religious spirits of guilt and fear. Guilt can leave believers bound to their past. Guilt can leave believers weighted down by the burdensome torment of their mistakes. And fear can torment believers too. Perhaps you constantly wonder about your salvation, or perhaps you're constantly wondering about whether or not God is angry with you. And you know, some believers even still struggle with the fear of hell, even though they've been saved. So I want to attack these issues head on. I want to begin by attacking the spirit of fear, and then I will address the spirit of guilt. But this religious spirit of fear causes you to constantly question your salvation. The spirit of fear causes the children of God to constantly wonder if God is angry with them. Now, there is nothing wrong with wanting to please God. There is nothing wrong with wanting to live a holy lifestyle. And there is nothing wrong with reverencing God. But the spirit of fear causes you to live in paranoia, in suspicion, in torment. And whenever you lack peace, you can rest assured that whatever is taking your peace is not from God. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks, He speaks with a light of hope. In other words, when He confronts an issue in your life, when He calls you on a certain thing, He will also offer the hope of overcoming that thing. Whenever you have a shortcoming and you sense that conviction, along with that conviction, the Holy Spirit will always bring the power to repent of that sin and walk toward holiness. Now, what I'm talking about here is the spirit of fear, the fear of hell, the fear of the wrath of God, the fear of making a mistake, constantly wondering, am I in the perfect will of God? Constantly wondering, did I miss it? Did I miss the will of God? Did I upset Him? Did I step in the wrong direction? Did I say the wrong thing? This is not just self-examination. It goes far beyond that. This is self-hatred. This is self-torment. This is the lack of peace. Believers who struggle with this spirit can't even enjoy the Word of God. As they read the Word of God, instead of learning more about Christ, instead of fellowshipping with the Word, instead of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, they read the Word and are afraid that they've misinterpreted it. They read the Word and wonder if perhaps they're being influenced by a demonic spirit who's causing them to be deceived. There is a constant fear of deception. There is a constant fear of missing it. Now, this is no way to live, especially because God has given to us peace. The scripture affirms the work of salvation. The spirit of fear questions it. The Holy Spirit has given us the truth. But the spirit of fear constantly asks, but what if you got it wrong? Now again, I have to emphasize the balance here. There is nothing wrong with asking questions. There is nothing wrong with examining yourself. But if this troubles you to the point where you're losing sleep, if this troubles you to the point where you can't pray, you can't worship, you can't even approach the Word of God, then there's something wrong. I'm going to read a scripture to you. 1 John, or a portion of scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19 say, "And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence, because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He loved us first." Really, ultimately, the spirit of fear comes down to this. You're afraid of punishment. You're afraid of the wrath of God. Now, if you have not been redeemed, if you have not received Christ, then this fear is well-founded. But if you are someone who, as the scripture says, lives like Jesus here in this world, and this is not perfection that we're talking about, this is the walk of holiness, this is the process of sanctification, but if you live like that, you have nothing to fear. You can stand before God on the day of judgment with confidence, knowing that He loves you. And this perfect love casts out all fear. Do you realize God is not working against you? He's working for you. God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, is working in your favor. God is doing and has done everything in His power to save you. If God will continue to, by His Holy Spirit, pursue those who resist His love, then how much more will He hold on to you who seeks His face? You see, when it comes to fear, fear is ultimately a useless attempt at control. But when you let go and understand that God is in control and that the one who loves you is also all-powerful and has the ability to perform that which He wants to do on your behalf, then the spirit of fear begins to lose its hold. Why? Because you understand, I am perfectly known and I am perfectly loved, and He will not let me go. It's because of His love. I trust not in my ability to cling to God. I trust in God's ability to cling to me. That perfect love of God casts out all fear. The second thing I want to address here is guilt. Now, guilt tells you you have to work for love. Guilt tells you that the accomplishment of your salvation is on you and not on God. Guilt tells you that you have to work for your salvation instead of just receive it. Guilt emphasizes your past. Guilt emphasizes your shortcomings. Guilt emphasizes your character flaws. Guilt emphasizes your mistakes. Guilt emphasizes the thoughts that you don't want to think, and it brings attention on you. It brings attention on your darkness rather than on the light of God. People who live with guilt live in this constant tension, a constant frustration with themselves that becomes self-hatred. And therefore, you can't receive the love of God because you don't even love yourself. Remember, Jesus told us that we're to love others as we love ourselves. So if I hate myself, how am I supposed to love my brother or my sister? You see, when you live in guilt, it's hard for you to give love and it's hard for you to accept love. Now, the people who are most susceptible to guilt are those who struggle with anxiety. And people who struggle with anxiety torment themselves because they lack a perfect record. They constantly replay their mistakes again and again and again in their head. And just when you think you've received freedom from your past, just when you're ready to look forward, just when you're ready to let go of what's behind you, suddenly guilt enters again and grabs hold of your attention. And guilt says, remember your past. Guilt says, remember what you did. So, what you must do with guilt is oblige. Look to the past. Yes, I will look to my past. But when I look to my past, I make sure to look far enough to see the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the earth. When I look to my past, I don't just look 10 years ago. I don't just look to 15 years ago. I look to over 2,000 years ago when Jesus gave His life on the cross for me. The wrath of God poured out upon Him. All wrath God poured out upon Him. You see, guilt is a way of punishing self. Guilt is our way of inflicting pain upon ourselves. We repeatedly torment ourselves because of our mistakes. We repeatedly beat ourselves up. Look, I'm about to tell you something about yourself you probably never even realized. Do you realize that when you allow guilt to work in you, that you are beating yourself up mentally. You're beating yourself up emotionally. You are abusing yourself when you allow yourself to wallow in and entertain guilt. And so the guilt that we allow to come against us, the guilt that we embrace, we're basically embracing a cross that Christ did not call us to embrace. And by embracing guilt, here is basically how it works. We tell ourselves this: if I can beat myself up enough, I can earn my salvation. And so, just as ancient religious people used to do, by the way, some would whip themselves over and over and over again as a way of paying for their sins, not realizing that Christ already paid that price. We say, that's silly, that's ridiculous, but we do it every day when we repeat our mistakes to ourselves. What are we doing? Emotionally speaking, spiritually speaking, we are whipping ourselves, hoping to pay off our debt, not realizing that the debt has already been paid. You can stop giving yourself those lashings. You can stop tormenting yourself. You can stop looking at your past because of what Jesus has done. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 say, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. So I'm sure those who struggle with guilt have no issue here. Anyone who struggles with guilt doesn't just acknowledge that they have sin, but they dwell on, meditate on the fact that they have sin, and they don't let it go. Verse 9 gives us hope. This is so powerful. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Now, I love what it says here. You notice it says He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins. What does that mean? Well, He's faithful, which means He consistently forgives us. And He's just, which means He has the right to forgive us. Once and for all time, He paid that price. I want to read a powerful portion of Scripture to you, found in Hebrews chapter 9. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With His own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. I want you to picture a hallway. On one side of the hallway, there's a door. And then, all the way on the other side of this long hallway, there's another door. The first door we'll call justification. The hallway we will call sanctification. The door way at the other end of the hallway we will call glorification. So, when I enter that first door, justification, I can open that door and shut it behind me. Justification is a legal standing, meaning I'm no longer guilty, I've been cleared. Now, that's the first door. The hallway is sanctification. It's not a door, it's not a one-time thing, it's a walk. It's a process. It takes me time to get there. Now, that door on the other end is glorification. That, of course, we know is when we stand before Christ, when we become like Him. We're glorified like Him. We receive our glorified bodies, our glorified state. We're not there yet. So that first door is justification. The hallway is sanctification. That final door is glorification. As long as I am in the hallway, I'm justified. Now, some of you battle with guilt over where you stand in the hallway, and you're afraid because of the spirit of fear that maybe you might be cast out of the door of justification. But remember this, God is not looking for perfection. He is looking for progress. And so when we open that first door and shut it behind us, justification, we're sealed. We're in. It's done. And now as we progress through that hallway, sometimes we take a couple steps forward. Sometimes we take a couple steps back. But so long as we are on that journey, so long as we are in the hallway, we're on our way to glorification, and we have already been justified. So I'm going to tell you a story, and then I will finish this message. I took my car to the mechanic because the check engine light had gone on. Now, I'm not much of a car person, so if someone is overcharging me, I'll have no idea. So I take my car to the mechanic. I drive in there. I say, hey, my friend, listen, I have no idea what's going on with my car, but I need you to fix this. The check engine light is on. It's been on for a couple days now. It's bugging me. Please take care of it. So he takes the car. He does whatever he does to it, and then he charges me a price. I pay that price, and I leave his shop. But as I'm driving away from the mechanic's shop, I recognize something that bothers me. The check engine light is still on. I was so bothered by the check engine light that I couldn't even focus on the road. I was looking at the check engine light. So frustrated, I turned back around and went back to the mechanic's shop. I take my car and I say, hey, look, man, my check engine light is back on. What on earth is happening here? He said, oh, bring it in here. I'll run diagnostics. He runs diagnostics. And then he tells me this. He says, listen, everything with your car is fine. We just needed to reset the check engine light. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, the check engine light goes on to let us know there is a problem. And then after we fix the problem, we're supposed to reset that light so that it finds any new problems, but also so that it goes away so that you know the problem has been fixed. And I realized that that is really what the conviction of the Holy Spirit is to us. That's the role that guilt should play in our lives. It's the check engine light. Now, some of you, the check engine light or your guilt has gone on and you recognize there's a problem. You've taken it into the mechanic, God. But then some of you have left that throne room and gone back into your everyday lives and you've noticed that the check engine light still comes on. And you go back to God and say, God, fix this problem, forgive me. And God says, I've already forgiven you. I've already fixed that. That's already behind us. You, my friend, just need to reset your check engine light. Otherwise, you'll be like me and you won't be able to focus on the road ahead. Well, that is it for the message. I want to pray with you now. I want to pray that God would break the spirit of fear from off of your life and that God would give you the peace of mind that comes when your guilt is taken away. Let's pray now. Let's come against these religious mindsets, these religious paradigms, and let's believe that God is going to set you free. It's time to walk in peace. It's time to let go of the past. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how afraid you are of the fact that you think it may catch up to you one day. God is so merciful and he's so gracious. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that one receiving this prayer now. And I ask you, Lord, to break from them the spirit of guilt and the spirit of fear. For your word declares, Lord, that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In the name of Jesus. There's a minister watching me. And you're watching this, you're lying down, and you're watching this as you're getting ready for sleep right now. And you've been struggling with guilt so heavily that you feel like quitting the ministry. I'm here to tell you, let go of the past. God still wants to use you. Thank you, Lord, for revealing that. And I pray, Lord, that you touch and heal your people, touch their sick bodies, let your healing power flow through them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I want you to say it because you agree. Say amen. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.